Straight into horse talk. His name is Danny Gargan. Joins us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Inside and outside posts, I have to say, there are lots of things.
Yeah, who did you piss off?
I'm not the first trainer to have it. Terry McLaughlin actually had
really?
The 1-20.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
And his Jock Ride Society, man, he's a good friend of mine. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was setting a trend, but obviously Karen beat me to
not,
it.
Not a trend you want to set right there, right?
I'm not, you know, you sit around and worry about it. 20 post actually has been lucky the last few years.
That's true.
And the new gate, I don't think the one pose, what it used to be, the one post is a little different. We have a different gate, so you're not breaking at an angle. You're breaking straight away like any other gate. So not really, you know, he's a speed-orientated horse, so he's going to come out of there running. He just has to run straight, doesn't have to get over. So as long as he breaks good and breaks sharp, he'll put himself in a real good position fast.
Danny Gargan joins us. He's the trainer of both the 1 horse and the 20 horse. That was the joke Mike was just making. Doorknock will be on the inside. And of course, Society Man on the outside. Let's start with Doorknock. And it's interesting you bring up that one hole, I should say. Excuse me.
Did you just say what I think you just said?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Where you
mark that for the mixtape.
Yeah, for sure. So where you used to essentially, if you started in the one, you had to take a right turn out of the gate, essentially, right? Those days are gone. You hear
it's
the one?
It's a very big difference now.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, it was a kiss of death. It was a gloom and doom. But like I said, now you break from the one hole and you're breaking and running straight.
Yep.
So it's a totally different situation because if you break, you got plenty of time to get yourself in position because it's a straight run. And we're lucky there's no speed right outside him.
Correct.
The 2, 3, 4, they're not speed orientated horses. And the rest of the speed's outside, so I don't see it as being such a negative as everyone else. Try to, you know, act like, you know, got upset and people are worried, but I'm fine with it, and, you know, it's not worried about it at all. And the 20 post, like I said earlier, it's been a lucky post the last few years, and he's more of a closer. He'll break and try to get over and try to be 4 or 5 wide in the first turn and save some ground.
Get that big ground run.
Well, Frankie Dettori's one of the best riders in the world. He's
rode
more 20-horse fields probably than anybody in this field. I don't know that for sure, but I'd be willing to bet on it.
It's him and Ben Curtis, right? I mean, essentially.
It's
but
him.
He's got to be him for
longer.
Sure. That's right. Yeah.
He's been riding a lot longer than Ben. And I mean, just Royal Ascot alone, he rides in 30-horse fields all the time. So Frankie knows how to ride. We're just going to tell Frankie, do your thing. Try to save ground as much as you can. And good luck, because we can't tell him how to ride a race. He's one of the world's best that's ever done it. And we're just blessed to have him and proud that we can be a part of the day with him.
So you do a lot of your training in New York, of course, right? And so you run in the Wood Memorial Society Man. We'll stick with him for now. 50-1. He's one of these horses. People, you know. Look, Danny, last 16 years, the last betting choice in the races won this thing, right? And so, I mean, it's not out of the question that
just kind of threw that race out, brought him back. He broke his maiden, really impressive. And I thought he looked really good breaking his maiden, so I gave him one more chance to step back up because he's been Doorknock's workmate going into the Remsen, and he always works really well and trains well. So we gave him another chance to give himself a little opportunity to prove that he belonged on this stage. And, you know, he ran a really credible race. He didn't have a great trip in the wood. He, you know, was out, had to wait and pause. He was out. He was in the way out in the far outside when he broke that day. So, you know, he's a trier, and he's a very determined horse in a race. So if he breaks, gets over, and saves ground, he's a horse that always can show up at any time because he trains so well.
Saw the good magic. We watched him run an OK Derby here as well.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit of that we'll fly in here. With him, you know, he runs his race in the Wood Memorial. He runs it well. We've talked a lot on our shows about that Remsen in December and how three of the horses in that race are now running in the Kentucky Derby, including Doorknock, right?
In that
famous stretch duel now with Sierra Leone. Do you think horses coming off of that aqueduct surface this year, for whatever reason, are just running better in other places, and that could translate for a horse like Society Man?
I don't think aqueduct has anything to do with it.
Okay.
Obviously, the three of the horses that are out of the Remsen, they never trained at aqueduct.
Right. Yeah.
None of us trained at aqueduct.
Right.
And, you know, Chad trained his horses in Florida, and Doorknock trained in Florida. Society Man trained all winter. I think he's the only horse in the race that trained all winter in New York. And he trained well there. My assistant Orlando did a fabulous job with him all winter to get him this point.
Is he stable at Belmont?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's done a fabulous job to get us to this point with the horse. He's a great rider. He did tremendous work to get him here. And we're just blessed that he made it. He actually looks and trains a lot like Good Magic, very similar looking. Doorknock's also Good Magic, but he looks more like Pooka the Mare. quite a bit like her, the same markings in the face, same shoulder, same eye. So they're totally different looking horses by the same sire.
Look, you've got Door Knock. His brother wins the freaking thing last year.
Yeah.
He's in your barn. and Mage
I
wins.
Part of him
I was going to say, and Mage wins the Derby. What goes through your head when he's a 2-year old?
I was pretty excited because I still owned probably 32% of him. When Mage ran second in the Florida Derby, and you know I owned part of Society Man also, so it was pretty exciting. And then we also really really loved the way Door Knock was training in Ocala. I had a few of the bigger clients come and look at him and talk to, and. I decided Randy's been a big supporter of mine, and I told Randy I thought this was going to be a big, a really special horse. And he said, "If Danny, if you like him that much, I'll buy him." And then Randy bought him. And, you know, this is our second time to the Derby together. He owned part of Tax, which I also owned part of him. Mm-hmm. I might be the first trainer in history to have owned 3 Derby starters at one point. I owned a part of him, and Dean and Randy bought him off of me. And it's... You know, both of those guys have been with me a long time, Dean and Randy, so we're just blessed that both of them are going to get to do the Derby walkover with us again.
I know with Society Man, you're just hoping he has the best day of his life on Saturday. But with Door Knock, you know, he doesn't – you know, it's not his best race in the Bluegrass last out at Keeneland. But Mike and I have talked about this a lot. Look, that Bluegrass is a great predictor of who won't win the Derby, frankly, right?
Yeah.
It is one of those races. But a race that is the Florida Derby, and he wins the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream Park. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm doing this track-to-track thing, but that's what you have to do with the Derby.
That's what you have to do with this.
But the Gulfstream surface seems to translate well here. Should we be looking more at the Fountain of Youth, Luis Saez being aboard, a guy that rides here a lot? There's a lot of positives about Door Knock.
You know, we were unfortunate. You know, we missed a little training going to the Bluegrass, and then there was a big storm came, and we didn't want to ship into the storm, so we had to delay our vans. He got to Keeneland 2 days before the race. That's a 19-hour van ride 2 days before the Bluegrass. As you know, the gate situation was a little hectic that day, and as right before they broke, I don't know if you ever watched the replay, one of the gate guys runs behind the gate. He reared up at the start just right before they broke.
Yep.
Broke a little behind him, or he would have been right on the lead that day, or closer. He got stuck in behind horses, kind of resented it, and ate a lot of dirt. Fought being back in there. Louis, you know, checked him 2 or 3 times in behind, kept hitting his ass on the saddle, and finally he got out in the stretch. You know, he had every right to just fold up and go home, but finally when he got clear on the outside, he started running again late. The last bit of the race, he picked it back up to come on to be fourth, because I thought he was going to flatten out even worse, but then he switched leads late and then come running at the very end. So we learned that out of that race, we don't want to be in behind horses, so we're going to come out running this time, and if somebody goes, we'll get on their outside. If not, we'll be on the lead.
Oh, okay. All right. Mike just pointed back at me. I'm going to keep going. I'm Louie Rabeau. This is Rabeau & Co. here on ESPN 680.
I'm letting you get all your gas
157. Right, we're hanging out with Danny Gargan. He's got 2 horses at the Derby. That's why we're hanging out with him.
I'm loving it, man. He's
hanging out with me because I have headsets, and I'm hanging out with him because he's got 2 horses
in the
Derby.
We've been talking about this Remsen forever. I feel like the Remsen's been a big thing, you know, a big race. And, you know, this horse beats Sierra Leone for, you know.
No, that's exactly right. And so, I mean, at 20-1, this just feels like
We were the favorite in the Remsen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah,
no.
We were a big favorite in the Remsen. We were a big favorite in the Fountain of Youth.
1-5 in the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't see the morning line having us. I thought I was a little confused at 20-1. I thought he deserved to be 15-1 or 12-1. But, you know, the guy that does the morning line here is not very good at it.
what was that decision like, though?
No, he's not.
To go to the Bluegrass instead of going to the Florida Derby. What was that decision like?
You know, like I said, he come out of the Fountain Youth. I missed a little training, so I really didn't have much of a decision.
Yeah, just because of the timing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a little reaction to some glue-on shoes, and we had to delay training after the race for a few days, and it kind of eliminated all decisions. And you know, we wanted to educate him in the Bluegrass. We didn't, you know, we wanted to stalk and not get stuck down on the inside, and everybody come out of there running. And you have to qualify for this race. You can't run a rabbit for yourself.
Do you think he learned something in the Bluegrass?
Oh, he learned a lot, and we learned a lot. You know, you can't practice in the Derby.
Right.
So, like I said, we're going to come out running. If somebody gets in front of us, they're going to have to slingshot pretty quick from the far outside. But I just don't see, you know, like everybody keeps saying this horse is fast, that horse is fast. We went 46 and change at Aqueduct.
Yep.
Don't look at the Bluegrass because we rated him. And the Fountain Youth, he's bounced along in 47 by himself. But, I mean, to go 46-11 at Aqueduct going 1 mile and 1/8, there's no one in this race fast enough to do that besides us.
Yeah.
And, we'll just go from there. And we come out running. He, you know, there were several horses that tackled him in that race, and he kept running. So we're going to come out, be real aggressive, and see where the chips fall.
The 10 furlongs, Dad's Good Magic, we're not worried about either of these guys.
No. Yeah. And both mares were route horses.
That's her too, yeah.
Society Man's mare, yep. One going a mile and an eighth, Puka, one going long.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't do the dosages and all that stuff, but I'm not worried about distance with both of them. They're bred to get the distance. And
who could be calling you this week? What a weird, a weird thing. How are you in demand? That was
they wait for you to get in.
How many airport runs are you going
to
make?
They wait for you
week?
On TV or you're on the radio, and then they're listening to it. Is my favorite, and still call you like they don't know it's live. Yeah, it's amazing.
My favorite is someone
or text you while you're doing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, while you're live, and they walk up and they say, "Are you on air right now?"
Yeah,
indeed we are.
With Danny, the headphones.
That's
on.
Right, Danny
no,
Gargan.
I'm
with
just
us.
Pretending
we're just
to
talking
be
out through
these. Yeah,
clouds.
We're just having fun together here, hanging out, talking to each other on the radio.
So you grew up down the street, man.
Yeah,
and your dad rode here, won the Oaks, won the Clark Handicap. I mean, a really accomplished guy. This is a personal place for you. You're doing a lot of training in New York. Is there any thought in making a move back here, anything like that, or is New York the Danny Gargan spot?
No, we're coming in the fall.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Going to go to Kingland with a stable of 10 to 15. And then, you know, if we can get Ben Huffman to give a stall, she knows it's a little tough. You know, put
Come
a little
on,
pressure
Ben.
On Ben.
Get it together, Ben.
Hey, he wanted me here bad this year with Door Knock to make the bluegrass
I'm
big.
Sure.
And, but we plan on coming in the fall with around a dozen
okay. And
stay all fall. Maybe come right after King, come after Saratoga for the September meet with some,
okay. Stay
for Kingland, stay for the fall.
You take some shots at Kentucky Downs?
I've only run one there, I think, and it was second. I ran one horse there last year. I think that's my only Kentucky Downs starter. There's not been many, but it's
second
hard.
Place is a fine check at Kentucky Downs.
Well, the problem with there, if you're in New York, it's a long way to go.
No, that's right.
It's a big ship. You know, I shipped him 20 hours to run, and he still ran a really good second. Irad rode him. He kind of didn't, should have probably won the race. He ran second, and he come back and won his next race, horse named Torrigo. We're going to come in here with a few in the fall. A couple of my big owners, we have less New York breds this year.
Okay.
Dean Reeves, that we've talked about it, and he'd like to have some horses here in the fall to separate his horses from his other trainers in New York. So we plan on bringing some of his babies to Kentucky in the fall, and so it'll be fun to try Churchill. I've never really stabled here. We've won races here, obviously. I won the Chalukie with Divine Miss Gray and several other races between here and Kingland in a small sample, but we're going to come with a few more horses and have a little more fun here.
How much do the purses play into that? Let's just cut to brass tacks of that. Does the money matter?
The money matters a whole lot, but I'd say the biggest thing for why we're going to come try it is it's so much cheaper to operate here as to New York. New York's very expensive to operate. Minimum wage is going up to $16 an hour. I don't even know what it is here. It's probably 12 or 11, Kentucky's. Just cost of living, in general, feed's cheaper, straw, hay.
Gas.
Everything's cheaper. Rent. New York's a very expensive place.
Yeah.
Workman's comp's a lot cheaper here.
We hear the workman's comp part of this a lot, too. We're out in Southern California for races and those kinds of things. We hear it. I mean, in California, those poor guys. I don't know how they do any of it.
Minimum wage is $8.20 here.
There you go.
It's $8.20 in Kentucky.
And
Danny
Louisville.
Just moved his entire bar.
And it's $7.25 in Kentucky, but in Lexington, Louisville, it's $8.20.
Really? So minimum wage is going to be $16 in New York.
So you get two for one.
Well, I mean, you can pay yourself a lot more than,
Yeah, right.
And, we pay by the hour. Obviously, everyone has to. But, geez. No wonder everybody's making money in Kentucky.
But you, growing up here and watching what the circuit in Kentucky has developed into, because I'll be honest, when we talk to guys in New York, we talk to guys in California, they're still adjusting to the idea that this might become the center point of American racing. Now, I got to say, one of the best things that happened this year in horse racing in the last calendar year is that they approved the Belmont loan. Right, and that they're going to renovate Belmont Park. I think that's a really important move forward for the sport to have New York City as one of its main spots. But watching the development here, what do you think?
I just don't think it's going to do anything. New York has to find a way to make it to where we can afford to train there. And I guess starting with the workman's comp is probably going to be their first thing to address. But, if you train here in Kentucky, Florida and New Orleans have programs, or, Louisiana, that your workman's comp comes through them, and they subsidize some of it. And we just pay per start. And, the trainers that go to New Orleans can use that workman's comp in Kentucky.
Mm.
The guys that go to Florida can use that workman's comp in Kentucky. To where we're only paying very, very low rate of about $100 per start or $200 per start, which it makes it so much more reasonable to be training here. As you know, when you get to New York, it's, you know, you pay by percentage of the salary, and it gets really expensive then when you're paying, you know, such a big cut of your money just for workman's comp. And it's kind of ironic that it would be more expensive in New York, because the riders, the exercise riders and the jockeys, are covered by the racetrack. So the workman's comp for the grooms and hot walkers, they're not a high risk, but we're paying the high risk just like they're a jockey or an exercise rider, when they're very low risk compared to the riders. The exercise riders and jockeys have tremendously dangerous jobs and hard jobs, and they should be high risk. But the stable employees should be considered more, you know, working with animals. It should be more like farm workman's comp. But hopefully New York at some stage tries to fix some things. But right now, you know, I probably, you know, when I started in New York, New York was a place to be.
Right.
Everybody wanted to be in New York. And I thought about coming a couple years ago, and I probably should have came with the stable 4 or 5 years ago when I had more claiming horses where I could have got established here. The claiming game was good back then here. It's not as good in New York. And I haven't claimed a horse in over a year. But it's something I would do if I was here, because the claiming game is a lot better in Kentucky. Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things we're going to address and try to fix and be here some in the fall.
Trainer Danny Gargan with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. Get you out of here on this. Do you allow yourself to have, you know, close, imagine the Derby winner circle? Do you allow yourself to do that?
No, I tell you one thing. I'm not a very sensitive person, but that might be a crying moment.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, what happens? You win the thing? I mean, come on, man. You grew up around here. I mean, you win the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to imagine it, because it's something that I'll just break down. You know, like you said, my father won the Oaks, which is a special thing to win here if you're from Kentucky. For me to be able to win the Oaks or the Derby one day would be special. I'll cry for either one, but I couldn't imagine it. Let's just hope it happens. It'll be something crazy. But I'm just proud of the fact that my assistants, Carol and Orlando, have helped me get, you know, they've been with me a long time, and both of them have been with me over 10 years, and I've only been training 11. This is my 11th or 12th year, not that many. I was a jocks agent for quite a few years before I did this. And my help, you know, they've all done a lot. Elio, Priscilla, I've got a whole crew that works real hard, and I'm just proud of all of them, that the fact that we worked hard enough to get ourselves in this position. And hopefully, you know, we don't come every 5 years. We get to come every other year or every year for a while. You know, at least I'd love to come back and run one in the Oaks. That's something. It's a special race for me. Yeah. So we got some nice fillies this year.